20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of a Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz. I'll be your host on this Sunday post-draft. We've got all seven rounds in the books now. There's a lot of new faces for the Green Bay Packers Friday and Saturday. We had our teams covering the first three, four rounds there for you guys. So we're actually going to be taking a look at today at rounds four through seven, all the draft coverage that you need here with the Packers. Joined, as always, by Mike and Gage. And guys, real quickly, before we get into rounds four through seven for the Packers here, I did something that I thought might be a little bit fun. Maybe you guys know, maybe you don't. So I guess it depends on your knowledge how much fun this is going to be. But it's always kind of interesting to see who Mr. Irrelevant is every year within the NFL draft. And there is yet to be a Mr. Irrelevant that has made a Pro Bowl. But so I figured I took a look at this. Do you guys know how many times the Packers have picked Mr. Irrelevant? Do either of you have any idea how many times the Packers have taken the last pick in the draft?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm going to guess zero or one, though. Like, if I had to just take a guess, it'd be like zero or one.
Okay, Mike, what about you?
I'm going to guess, I say three, because I'm guessing back in the 60s when they were the champions, they got the last pick 3 years in a row.
Okay. Well, so I looked it up, and I think Mr. Irrelevant as an official thing started in the 70s, if I remember correctly. But so since it became a thing, the Packers have taken Mr. Irrelevant two times. They drafted Mr. Irrelevant in 1987. Norman Jefferson, don't know anything about him. He played defensive back, and he appeared in 14 games for the Packers, or 14 games in his career. I don't know if they were all with the Packers. And then in 97, after they won the Super Bowl with Favre the first time, Ronnie Makeda, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He played quarterback and never appeared in a game in the NFL. So I thought it might be a little bit fun to throw that out there with Mr. Irrelevant always being a kind of an interesting topic. But we're not here for Mr. Irrelevant because Green Bay did not pick Mr. Irrelevant this year. So starting in the fourth round, Green Bay taking... and you guys are going to have to help me with this. It's bad that I don't even know. Romeo, how do you pronounce Romeo's last name? Is it?
Oops.
I wouldn't even know how to guess.
It's Romeo Dubs. Romeo Dubs. As Mike chimed in, Romeo Dubs there.
Romeo Dubs. Okay, so it is pronounced how I thought it was. The O is throwing me off there. So Romeo Dubs, wide receiver out of Nevada, 6'2", 201. Another wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, probably not as highly anticipated this year as maybe the other wide receiver taken in the second round. But Mike, looking at Romeo Dubs, obviously probably not going to be a starter day one. He'll be interesting to see where he fits in on the roster right away. He's got obviously good size at 6'2" and some pretty good speed. But what do you like about Romeo Dubs? If looking initially at him as being a wide receiver for the Packers.
Well, he may not be as tall, but he's your MVS guy. He's a deep threat, very vertical receiver. He gets up the field really well. His unofficial 40 was a 4.47. He ran last week in front of some people. He was a big play guy in Nebraska, got deep a lot, and he's a good returner. The team brought him in for a visit. One of, I think, six guys that they drafted that came in for visits during their top 30 visits. And Dubs, he was a guy mocked to Green Bay a lot in recent weeks, and he fits it. He's going to be that deep threat that they're looking for. He's going to be a returner. And compared with Christian Watson, who's going to be like a do-it-all type guy, Dubs is going to be there to get down the field and make those big plays like we saw with MVS. Even if he doesn't quite have the pure deep speed that MVS had, he'll probably be in a similar type role to that, at least early on.
And Gage, when we're looking at him, just from, obviously no player taken in the fourth round is going to be perfect. Just some of the weaknesses we're looking at here: linear and limited with his route running ability. There's a couple of things I'm noting here from some of these scouts saying that he's going to have trouble releasing past press defenders, and his routes could be redirected and thrown off schedule, which that one right there is just with Aaron Rodgers. We know how precise he is. Obviously, it's something he's going to have to work on. But I mean, right out the gate, that's something that stands out to me as somebody, Aaron Rodgers, he wants to know you're going to be in the right spot that he expects you to be in. So that's clearly something that in order to kind of get into a regular rotation, he's probably going to have to get a lot better at.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, you also have to factor in who he was playing with. He had Carson Strong was his quarterback there in Nevada. Carson Strong didn't even get drafted. Part of that is obviously due to the fact that he dealt with some injuries, which held him back. But there's still just this draft class was historically bad. There was one taken in the first round, and then the next one wasn't taken until the third round. So I'm going to go ahead and take it with a grain of salt that a guy playing with one of these quarterbacks that was considered good for the position in Carson Strong, the fact that he struggled, I'm going to go ahead and give him take a little easy here. I think that Dubs is he's a big guy, 6'2", 201. I think that he's got good size. I think that he has decent speed. I think that he has the ability to work kind of close to the line of scrimmage. And you said that Aaron Rodgers likes to be on schedule. But at the same time, we've seen that Aaron does have a tendency to get off script at times. And when he gets off script, that's when you kind of just have to freewheel it. When Dubs was playing on schedule and using his, like, he's got good footwork at the line of scrimmage, which there's a guy that I know everybody in Packerland is familiar with who had really great footwork at the line of scrimmage, Davante Adams. Definitely not the same caliber of player, but Davante didn't have the best speed, so he won with footwork and good hand fighting. Dubs has good hands. He's got big hands. He's got good length. He's got good footwork at the line of scrimmage. So if he can find ways to get open early, then he doesn't have to necessarily be exactly in the right spot at the right time because he's going to be open early on. So you're right. He's probably not going to be a day one starter, but he does have skills that he can develop and become a starter or a contributor for this team.
I guess very quickly before we kind of move on, just looking at his numbers that he had in Nevada, in 4 years there, he had at least 40 catches, at least 550 yards and 2 touchdowns every year. Had over 3,000 career receiving yards, 80 catches, 1,100 yards last year, 11 touchdowns. Also averaged 12.5 yards per punt return and took one back in 37 punt returns over 4 years as well. So, a very productive receiver for Nevada. Averaged almost 15 yards per catch as well. He was their guy. He was their number one receiver for basically 4 years. And that kind of production, that kind of experience is very valuable.
And I would think that Green Bay is going to find a way to use him right away, you know, whether it's in the return game. I'm sure he's going to contribute on special teams to start the season. But it'll be interesting to watch him work in that receiver room, knowing that, you know, for the most part, I don't want to say it's super open necessarily for him, but there's definitely a lot of room potential to be able to get some playing time with the current wide receiver room. So going from wide receiver to offensive line here, Zach Tom taken also in the fourth round out of Wake Forest. He's 6'4", 304. Nice big offensive lineman. We've seen now that Gutekunst has made offensive line a very, prominent position as far as his draft. I think I saw somewhere this is the third straight year he's taken at least three offensive linemen in the draft, so it's obviously a position that he views as important. So Zach Tom here, just, you know, Gage looking at some of the strengths here, says he's got excellent intelligence, he's a three-year starter, makes fluid block adjustments in space. So looking at him, I mean, obviously, later round pick, you're probably year one looking at a depth pick here, but we've seen Green Bay in the past use later round picks on offensive linemen that turn out to be pretty decent starters. So I mean, you know, initial thought on Zach Tom coming in and probably starting out as a depth role, you think, for Green Bay?
Yeah, he'll probably be a depth guy. 6'4", 304, so he's got great. He's got good height on him. He has played a little bit of tackle in the past. He projects more as a guard at the next level, mainly due to arm length. He's not like he doesn't have the best arms, but here's what he does have: a ton of athleticism. All of these are the 92nd percentile or higher for him among offensive linemen. This isn't just guards. This isn't just tackles. This is offensive linemen in general. 92nd in the 20-yard shuttle. 95th in the three cone, 98th in the broad jump, 93rd in the vert jump, 95th in the 40, 93rd in the 10-yard split. So he is a crazy athlete for a guy at 6'4", 304. So he's got great size. He has the ability to play a little bit of everywhere. Most places are mocking him and projecting him to be a center at the next level, which obviously you have. We drafted Myers last year, so there's not a ton of need for him at center right now, but just having a guy that's versatile, has played a little bit everywhere, is never a bad thing to have. Don't know where he's going to play for Green Bay, but if he can come in and just iron sharpens iron, the old just put your best five guys out there, which granted we saw last year that Adam Sinovich and the offensive line staff more or less made a decision to not necessarily go with that for the playoffs, but I think that they're going to fix that this year. They're going to constantly try and put their best five out there, whoever that may be. If that's like whatever their best five combination is, they'll find a way to get those five guys on the field. So I think that Tom will, even if he's not contributing from day one, he's going to push and make sure that the guys in front of him are earning their spots. He's not just going to roll over and give them a free spot.
Absolutely. And I mean, offensive line is definitely a position that Green Bay has done well with over the years. Whether it's first round, second round, I mean, what, Bakhtiari is a fourth round pick, if I'm thinking correctly. So, I mean,
that is correct. He was a fourth round pick. Yep.
Exactly. And now he's what, considered to be the best left tackle in the league. So just because Zach Tom is taken in the fourth round here, again, wouldn't expect him necessarily to be a day one starter with the Packers. But especially in Green Bay, it's not unheard of for some of these later round picks to, you know, turn into really great offensive linemen. And so, Mike, I mean, just looking at some of these, you know, obviously everybody's got a downside to him. So just some of the scouts looking at him, slender through his waist and hips. So, you know, catches some contact at the point of attack. Some think that he needs to be a little bit more aggressive coming into contact. Just looking at him, you know, thoughts, you know, things that he can improve upon to really push some of these starters and, you know, make a case for potentially being a starter down the road for the Packers.
For a starting job this year, I truly believe that. Zach Cruz and others have commented on Tom going before the draft. He is the most Packersy prospect in the draft at any position. He is elite everywhere if you rate him as a guard, except for his weight. He's a little slender at 304 at 6'4", and he only benched 24, but that's fine. His broad jump, 99th percentile among guards. His three cone, 98th percent. 10-yard split, 99th percent. He is an elite athlete. He was a multi-year starter at center to start at Wake Forest. Then they kicked him out to left tackle, and he was one of the best pass-blocking tackles in the entire country in 2021. He is really good in space. He is really good getting to that second level. He's got enough nasty, and I see a lot of J.C. Tretter in his game, if you want to use a former Packer. Can play anywhere on the line. He's smart enough to play center. He's athletic enough to play tackle. His frame probably makes him a better fit at guard. But he's a guy who's going to play everywhere on this line. And he is going to step in right away. He may not be a starter right away, but he is going to see snaps in some way, whether it's on special teams, whether it's as a sub, an injury fill-in. He is going to be on the field early and often in Green Bay right away. And it just made sense that a guy like this, with this athletic profile, with this kind of versatility and this kind of pedigree at what he did at Wake Forest, was going to be a Packer. And when I was watching the draft, I was cooking a little bit, and my family told me that they drafted this guy from Wake Forest, and I said Zach Tom, and they looked at me like, how did you know that? It just makes sense. He is the quintessential Packers mid-round lineman prospect. There, he is the archetype of what they're looking for.
Well, and I mean, like we've said, offensive line, definitely a position that Green Bay values a lot and has done a very good job drafting. So it'll be interesting to watch him through this year and into the future to see, you know, exactly where he ends up with the Packers. But moving into the fifth round here, what is it, Kingsley Man, some of these names. Is it
Kingsley Enagbare is the name that you are looking at there, sir. Pass rusher out of South Carolina, 6'4", 258. He is he's a big fella, that's for sure. Yes. He's, lacks a little bit as pass rusher right now, hand fighting wise, but he's got a lot of power to him. He's got some athleticism with him. Got a good push pull move, and the main benefit to him, he's not going to have to play from day one. That's the benefit of getting these guys on day three. When you can get a guy that's 6'4", 260, that's a big, rare athlete that you don't get just every day. And you're trying to find guys that can maybe contribute moving down the road. And he's got good length. He can play behind Gary Preston and maybe be able to do something more as the season wears on and he gets to possibly crack the pass rush rotation.
And one thing also with him is, at 6'4", he verticaled 36.5. So he's going to get in some passing lanes. I think that's going to be a big thing as well. You get him on the field as your edge three. And if a team tries to do a smoke screen out, he can get his hand up and maybe cause some deflections, cause some crazy plays to happen. Very productive guy. 7 tackles per loss each of the last 3 years in the SEC. That's pretty good when there wasn't a ton around him. He was facing some of the best blocking that the SEC had to offer, and he was still productive.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, again, talking about linebacker, depth is always something, obviously, in the later rounds. Some of his prospect grade is, you know, good back with the potential to develop into a starter, which, you know, is a perfect position for someone like him, being able to, you know, not necessarily, like you guys said, you know, not needing to necessarily contribute from day one, but definitely has that talent and the ability to, you know, really be able to sit and learn and develop into, you know, potential depth player that can help out in pass rushing situations. And then obviously he's probably going to be expected to contribute a little bit on special teams as well in his rookie season. So, you know, just obviously good depth for Green Bay here in the 5th round, at a position that obviously is, you know, obviously great to have good depth at. So, moving to the 7th round here, Green Bay not having a 6th round pick. Tariq Carpenter is Tariq, right? First name. So Tariq Carpenter, linebacker out of Georgia Tech, 6'3", 230. You know, obviously we're getting into the later rounds here with, you know, the 7th round. So not as much on some of these guys, but I mean, he started 4 seasons. You know, What are we looking at here? I mean, obviously we have more depth here at the linebacker position, Gage, but, you know, coming out of Georgia Tech, looks like he's probably going to be maybe an average backup or a special teamer for Green Bay to start off. And then, you know, looks like here, though, it says was projected to be a 5th round pick. So getting him in the 7th round, maybe that's a little bit more value there for Green Bay as well. But obviously just another position of depth for Green Bay here in the 7th round.
Yeah, no, and you hit the nail right on the head. He's going to be a depth guy. He's going to contribute on special teams. We were talking about it a little bit before we got on that he's going to be a special teams guy. You have Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker. That's your top 2 linebackers. It's those 2 and then everybody else. And Tariq Carpenter fits firmly in the area of go be an athlete on special teams. That's all you need to do. You don't need to do anything else right now. He's a little bit of a tweener. He's really skinny for a linebacker, but he's too big to be a safety. So he is the prototypical modern safety linebacker hybrid type guy. So for now, he's going to go and play with Rich Bisaccia on special teams, and that's where he needs to go, and that's where he needs to make his hay. If a guy gets injured and he can step up and take that spot, that's one thing. But for now, he needs to focus on special teams and being good there, and we'll figure out the rest of it later. He's got good burst, so he's got good acceleration for his size, which is great to see. And he also has really long, he's got long arms, so that's good for trying to take down some of these quicker punt returners and kick returners, such as like Jakeem Grant, who's got crazy good speed, but he's also not that big. He's only like 5'6". So if you got a guy that's got good size like Carpenter does, good size, long arms, good burst, that translates well to special teams and then occasional defensive rotations for guys that may be tired or whatnot.
So looking at, if you want to look at other former Packers, remember the name Sean Richardson? back in 2012, 2013, 2014. Safety, 6'2", 215, long-armed, played special teams, hit things. Carpenter's that guy. He is going to go out there. They're going to tell him, go get the returner and bring him to the ground as hard as you can, possibly can. I'm not expecting him to play a snap from scrimmage in 2022 or probably 2023. He's a guy. He is the Rich Bisaccia guy who probably said, I want this guy on my special teams units. He is a dog, and that's what he's going to be. And that's all they're going to ask him to do.
On a quick note on Tariq Carpenter, he tweeted, this is an hour ago now. I was at about 6:45 p.m. He tweeted a picture of himself in a Packer champion, like Super Bowl champion t-shirt, saying, it's always been a dream of mine to be a Packer. So this guy who's from Georgia, this isn't a kid from Wisconsin. He's not from up there. This is a kid that was from Georgia who said he's always wanted to be a Packer. And so now he is getting to live out that dream. And some tells me that this guy will, it doesn't matter how he does it. I think that he'll go out and try and just be able to wear the green and gold. So if that means he has to become a special teams ace, then I think he's going to be more than willing to do that.
I think Romeo Dubs had something similar too. I think he said his mom was a big Packers fan. So he was really, really glad for her that he's going to be in Green Bay.
Well, and I mean, that's, you know, if that's the motivation you need as a, you know, a seventh round pick to, you know, make the roster and do all you can to, you know, contribute to the team, those are guys that you're looking for, especially in these later rounds, or, you know, guys that are highly motivated by, you know, outside factors. So really good there for Green Bay in the seventh round. You know, some of these last three picks here, we'll run through them pretty quick. Next is Jonathan Ford, defensive tackle out of Miami. Now, this is a guy that the draft grade here says he's a priority undrafted free agent. So given that that's the case here, it's probably why Green Bay ended up drafting him, just to be able to make sure that they didn't have to compete with other teams to get him. But out of Miami, 6'5", his draft profile says he's 333 pounds, but I know we were talking before the show started. What he tweeted out today that
it was in his press conference that he said he's 341 pounds as of this recording.
So 341 pounds. So that is a big boy. But obviously more depth there at the defensive tackle position. But I mean, Mike, when we're looking at defensive tackle, it's a position that Green Bay, you know, addressed in the first round. They have Kenny Clark. He's obviously not the only defensive tackle there, but for somebody like this seventh round, I mean, what's realistic for Packer fans to see out of him this year?
Defensive line is now a very deep room with Devontae Wyatt in round one. Now you had Ford, you have Jerron Reed in there. You have TJ Slayton, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry could be getting a little warm if Ford looks really good in camp. He's a big guy. Like you said, 6'5", 333 listed, 341, he said during his conference call. Vertical 29, so that also screams to me, field goal block. So if he makes the team, if he makes the 53, he could be a guy who you put out there, get his hands up there, maybe get his hands on some kicks with especially longer range ones where they have to kick it lower, get that big paw out there. And he's a guy where he's not going to be rushing the passer. He's going to be there for to take up space, be double teamed, and just not be moved out of the way. And for a seventh-round pick, that's good. Like you said, people had him as a priority free agent. That's what seventh-round picks are. It's just you just draft him so you don't have to negotiate with other teams to try and get the guy. And very clearly, they like what this guy can bring in there. And I think we said before recording, he was middle school classmates with TJ Slayton. He played with Spider Garvin at Miami, so he knows some of the guys around, which will help him get acclimated during minicamp next week. And he's a guy where it's a lottery ticket. I mean, if you get a big run stuffer in the seventh round, you're very happy.
Absolutely. And I mean, Gage, when looking at it, the only question I would have is, you know, 341, that's kind of what you're looking for a defensive tackle, but also like any concern with, you know, being that weight, would you want him to be a little bit, you know, maybe more right around that 320 mark, or is that just part of the position that he's playing?
I'm going to focus on one thing about his weight. He was drafted in the seventh round. if his weight does balloon and you don't, and you, he can't stay in shape and you can't keep him around, it's a seventh round pick. He's not going to cost you a lot of money. He didn't cost you a ton of draft capital to get him. If this was a first round pick, different story. I know that Kirby Smart had comments about Jordan Davis's weight. Jordan Davis was a first round pick, went, I believe, 12th overall to the Eagles, 12th or 13th, maybe. It was 13th, wasn't it? Yep, 13th, because the Eagles trade up right in front of the Ravens. He made comments that Jordan Davis could be a three-down player if he ever stayed in shape. That was a first-round pick you had to spend. Green Bay just got a guy who's 6'5", 341 pounds in the seventh round. I'm not as concerned about it as like as I would have been if it was cost you more to keep him. So, yeah, his weight doesn't bother me. I also think that weight never really bothers me in terms of NFL players, because you can see guys that are like, oh, yeah, I know this guy's overweight, and that yet he still goes out and makes plays every day. Everybody had comments about Eddie Lacy's weight. Eddie Lacy played good football. Yeah, he was a little bigger than maybe you wanted, but he still made good plays when he was out there. I think the weight comments are generally overrated, especially for guys that are already carrying a ton of weight like this guy is. He's carrying 341 pounds. 20 pounds isn't going to make a humongous difference, really, in the grand scheme of things.
All right. Names to kind of supplement that point. Howard Green, key member of a Super Bowl championship team, a very big guy. No one worried about his weight. And for a guy who won, I don't know how many Super Bowls, Vince Wilfork was a mammoth human being. No one worried about him because he made plays. He did his job. I think Ford can do not obviously that level, but I think he can be a similar style type of player.
Also, quick note that's completely unrelated to the draft. Matt LaFleur is doing his live press conference right now, and he actually just said that last week when Aaron Rodgers was in town for the Bucks playoff game, he stopped by the Packers facility and then actually jumped in with the workout that was going on there and said that Aaron is in fantastic shape as things stand currently. As I said, completely unrelated to the draft, but it's Packer relevant, and I wanted to make sure that the people listening to this got to hear about that in case they don't follow Twitter.
And, well, and I mean, all due respect to some of these draft picks, Aaron Rodgers news is probably a little bit more on the minds of Packer fans than who these four seventh-round draft picks are. But we'll continue here. So this next one here, Rashid Walker, another offensive lineman here, offensive tackle out of Penn State. Good size here, 6'6", 313. You know, and gauge just more offensive line depth here. Obviously, in the seventh round, you probably don't have a whole lot of expectations, at least coming into year one, and maybe not setting the expectations super high beyond that. But I guess I'm also seeing here that NFL.com had him projected as a third-round pick. So interesting to see that he's here in the seventh round for Green Bay. So maybe potentially a little bit of a steal here in the seventh round?
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. Rashid Walker was projected to go much, much, much earlier than he ended up going. He was a popular player for a few different reasons. For one, he's a good player. He's 6'6", 313 pounds. He played and he started at left tackle for the last 2 years. He's probably going to, or no, last 3 years, excuse me. He projects to be a right tackle or a guard at the next level just due to kind of his athleticism and his arms. But he's a good player with starting experience on the left side in the Big Ten. It's not like he wasn't doing this in, he didn't do this in the FCS level. He was doing this in the Big Ten against Aiden Hutchinson. He got to do it in practice every day against Odafe Owe, who was a first-round pick last year. He got to do it against other elite pass rushers.
Chase Young,
George Karlaftis, who was a first-round pick this year. He's got to do this against talented guys week after week for the last 3 years as a starter at a big-name program. So I like that. And also, Rashid Walker had one of the funniest clips from his playing time where he asserted his will over another player. If you guys aren't sure what I'm talking about, go find Annie Herman's Twitter. He is quote tweeted in the last hour or so. So this is about 6 o'clock there, Central Time on Saturday. Go take a look. Rashid Walker's a talented player. He's got starting experience and he is a absolute steal. He was ranked by most. He was ranked by most draft experts as one of the top, right around 10th, 11th, 12th for his position. And he was much, much later than the 10th or 11th tackle off the board. So I think Green Bay got an absolute steal here. Even if Walker is nothing more than a back career backup tackle, he is a steal in the seventh round.
Absolutely. You're right. And like I make my composite like big board every year. I go through 10 different boards, combine them, average them out. Among the 10 boards, which was for me, Draft Network, Sports Illustrated, Dane Brugler's Beast, Arif Hassan's Consensus, Matt Miller, Kuiper, McShay, Tony Pauline, Jordan Reed, and PFF, his average was 123.6. So his highest was 177th overall. His lowest was 99th. So he is a writer. He was around a late third, early fourth round projected type prospect. My rankings had him at 113 when you combine those together among all players. To get that at 249, a five-star recruit, three-year starter at left tackle in a Big Ten East program that played in big games time and time again, that's great. And you're right, even if he's just a backup for 4 years, that is incredible value for a very, very athletic tackle who I think could eventually be a starter at right tackle. And I think he could be a very long-term starter at right tackle. I think he's that talented.
Well, there you have it. Some really good depth and value there for Green Bay in the seventh round. And then we get to our last guy for Green Bay here. It's Samori Toure, wide receiver out of Nebraska, 6'1", 191. Obviously, another wide receiver here. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, that's the idea, but being a seventh-round receiver, although it's not unheard of in Green Bay, there is one famous seventh-round wide receiver in Green Bay that we all know and love, which is Donald Driver. So maybe he'll end up being in that same group. But, I mean, you know, again, Gage, we're looking at, you know, a seventh-round wide receiver here. What, at best, some special teams play this year, but – you know, another wide receiver to compete in that wide receiver room. I guess all things considered with where the wide receiver room is at, you know, maybe he can push somebody, but most likely special teams for this year, I would presume, correct?
Best case rotational is absolute best case for him, rotational guy. Otherwise, he's a special teamer. Worst case, he's just a camp body. You're going to have a ton of receivers every year, and I know everyone's going to say, well, Green Bay doesn't have any receivers, so he might even start day one. No, he's not going to start day one. It's not what he's going to do. He averaged 19.5 yards per catch last year. He's got these 6'3", 190. He's got good size. He played, again, Big Ten. He went to Nebraska. In the seventh round, that's a guy that you were going to probably sign as an undrafted free agent, and you figure, I'll just go ahead and make sure that no one else can sign him, and you end up with him in your pocket versus ending up in somebody else's camp.
So the Toure dominated the FCS, went to Nebraska. Like you said, led the Big Ten in yards per catch at 19.5, five touchdowns. Also averaged 8 yards a carry. He had 8 carries rushing. Yeah, at worst, he's a camp body. At best, he's your wide receiver 5 or 6. Because, I mean, let's very quickly take a look at who's now in that receiver room. Lazard, Cobb, Rodgers, Watkins, Watson, Dubs, Toure, Malik Taylor, Winfrey. You can work with that. You could easily work with that. There's talent there. And Toure's a big play guy. He may be a practice squad early on, but he could be a guy who could be sneak his way onto the roster and get some snaps as a deep threat. If Dubs isn't ready to go or if he gets banged up, you can bring him in there and have him run the 9 route.
Yeah, well, and, you know, again, we talk about seventh round picks. I mean, you know, again, you know, expectations are not set through the moon for these guys like some of these, you know, first and second round picks. So definitely, you know, going to be interesting to see how some of these guys pan out. You know, Green Bay had what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks in day 3. So you expect some of these guys to make the roster. Obviously, camp will, you know, give us a lot more information, but you know, at this point, you got 7 players, 4 from the 7th round. So, you know, how many of those 7th round players are actually going to make the, you know, opening 53-day man roster? Only time will tell. But so there you have it. You have the entirety of Green Bay's 2022 draft selection here. got some wide receivers for Aaron Rodgers, got some offensive line, and got a lot of defensive help. So real quickly, Gage, just now that you've seen Green Bay's entire draft here, what's your kind of overall feeling of how Green Bay did? And, I mean, obviously, you're not replacing Devontae Adams in the first year that he's gone. The defense seems to have gotten better. But, I mean, what do you think of Green Bay's draft overall, and where do you see this team moving into the 2022 season?
Give me one second. I got to check my notes. Okay, Aaron Rodgers, still the quarterback. Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. I think that I like a lot of the pieces they got. If you look at, like, ESPN's draft tracker, which is what I'm using here because it's at least concise and has everybody listed in one spot for me. They didn't address defensive end or tight end. Guess what? They have Devontae Wyatt, who in Green Bay will be a defensive end because that's the scheme they play. So there you go. They didn't address tight end. I don't really care. They have Bob Tonyan coming back. Brian Gutekunst was talking in his post draft press conference about Tyler Davis, who he's a big fan of. They have other guys. I'm fine there. And then wide receiver. I love Christian Watson. I loved him when I first scouted him, when he first came across my radar when I was scouting Trey Lance a couple years ago. I loved Trey Lance, and I was like, wait, who's this guy that he keeps throwing the ball to? And I was like, it's Christian Watson. This guy's going to be good. And then this year, watching everybody else fall in love with him, I was like, you guys are late. I was on this guy 2 years ago, so I'm glad that you guys are all coming to the party now. I think Quay Walker's a good player. He was viewed as the better linebacker. N'Kobe Dean was the highlight name. Quay Walker was the more talented or more NFL ready guy. Plus, he doesn't have the injury issues that Dean does. I'm just ready to watch all these guys get on the field because I think that Green Bay went to a lot of areas and addressed a lot of depth. And we saw in the playoffs where you had guys getting hurt and that depth eventually ran thin. Yeah, Green Bay didn't trade up and draft the number one wide receiver in this class, but I'm not concerned about it because Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback, Matt LaFleur is still the coach. They're going to find a way to make it work.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself, Gage. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, the reason Green Bay has been in the playoffs all these years, Aaron Rodgers still the quarterback, you're in a good spot. But Mike, looking at Green Bay's draft overall, what do you think of their draft and where do you think, how do you see them going into 2022?
It's too early to grade the players yet, but I think as far as the value we got, the athleticism he got, how he worked the board, this is one of the best jobs I think he's done as far as getting the players that he wants. Quay Walker is the freakiest of freak athletes. Wyatt is a productive player and is going to be in there from day one. I love Sean Ryan at guard. He is going to be an ass kicker in the purest sense of the word. He's going to drive you into the dirt, talk smack while doing it, and then laugh in your face. Day three, I thought they did a really good job. Kingsley is a very good pass rusher. I think Dubs is going to be your kick returner, punt returner immediately. They got a lot of guys who can step in the first day of training camp and become solid professionals right away. Whether they become Pro Bowlers or All Pros, that's to be seen. But I do really like what they've done, and I think they're in a much better spot going into 2022 than they might have been going into last year. Even though Devontae's gone, as a full top-to-bottom roster, they might be in a better spot.
Well, and again, like I said, time will tell where this team is at, but I know a lot of people really like the draft so far from Green Bay, so I mean, obviously, with that Georgia defense from last year, if you can get two of those guys on your team, probably going to be in a better spot than you were. So, well, there you have it, the full seven rounds of Green Bay Packers draft for 2022. Real quick before we wrap up here, guys, I know I do it every week, but just like to put it out there in case we have new listeners. Gage, if people want to get in touch with you, follow your work, how can they do that?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL, still doing work for Denver Stiffs mostly right now, also doing the Believe in Nuggets podcast. That's going to be about once a week now with the season officially coming to an end. And then I'll have some fantasy football and other content over between Roto Baller and other places, but it'll all come out on my Twitter.
All right. And Mike, if people want to follow your work, get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Again, on Twitter, at Mike Wendland, it is all one word. My broadcasting work is at Zaleski Sports. I've got 5 games this next week. covering all of sort of central Wisconsin, baseball, softball, soccer, track and field. I will be all around doing that kind of stuff. And I'm writing for Wisconsin Sports Heroics, doing one of their Brewers writers. I'm doing a lot of weekly recaps as the Brewers right now are continuing to really play super well. And as a baseball fan, that makes me super thrilled. And I'll be doing a lot more research into these draft picks more and more, and the UDFAs when they get announced as the weeks go on. So you can find everything for me on Twitter as well.
All right. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at ProducerNickLB. The 2022 NFL Draft officially in the books now. And it's time to get ramped up for camp. And before you know it, guys, it'll be August and we'll have preseason games. And then it'll be September and we'll be off and running with the regular season for 2022. So with that being said, thank you, everybody, for listening over the past month as we just gorged ourselves on draft coverage. It's always a fun time of year to see, you know, where Green Bay puts its needs and interests for the draft. And obviously always getting new young talents is always a great thing for Green Bay. So thank you for listening, everyone. And as always, go Pack, go.